the message, this entire chapter. We're going to cover the entire chapter of Job. Let us turn our hearts to God in prayer, seeking his blessing, or apply it, or love it, unless your spirit moves in eagerness to follow. Lord, we cannot follow your word. And so we ask you for your saving grace on our hearts, fruit of faith in us. In Jesus' name, Job 28, beginning at verse 1. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Is for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people, far from men, he dangles and sways. The earth for fires come from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beast, man's hand assaults the flinty rock and lays bare the roots of the mountains. He searches the place of the rivers and brings hidden things. Where does understanding dwell? Man does not. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. Onyx or sapphires, neither gold nor crystal compare. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be wisdom come from. Where does understanding dwell? Concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the water, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Search for wisdom. Those who suffer need this in the context of his suffering. And so the search for wisdom. Now, the book of Job refers to wisdom far more than we might imagine. Allowed Satan to afflict him. Satan had said that Job loves, and Satan said Job will instantly hate God. And so, yet, Job's faith in God continued. All this background, Job's three friends offered their wisdom to suffering due to Job's sin. In fact, the people who sin the most suck wisdom, even God's wisdom. In one place, God would speak and open his lips to you, and he would tell you the secrets of wisdom. You would listen to us, and he would give you the secrets of wisdom. No doubt, wisdom will die when you die. Was there supposed wisdom for him? The three friends. It's like this chapter is a doorway. Be friends. And enter another room in chapter 29, and Elihu also will say he's giving wisdom to Job. It's what the sufferer really needs to know about wisdom. Let's remember that we all seek wisdom when we suffer. Ask profound questions. When we become very, we might ask ourselves, what did I do to get this? Or we might say, why do I suffer so terribly when all the friends, when we suffer, that our suffering will end, or that slain the reasons? We need Job to search for wisdom. Now this is different, and yet we're going to see how each shows us. In the first 11 verses, we see mankind's search for precious metals. And we see how these people succeed of miners. People develop mines to find their value. They dig in the earth for iron and copper. Mankind, even in the time of Job, has then purifying and profiting from them. Distances to find these metals. People dig tunnels in valleys. They dig horizontally into the hillsides. Often they dig where no one notices, and in the rock and fires and gold. Miners will go to any, suffer from any amount of isolation to find the precious gems. And then beginning in verse 11, the writer makes clear that immensely successful. Though the strong lion searches fearlessly for its prey, but mankind searches them and finds them, puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots, he finds what he seeks. So verse 10, they do not trickle, and the thing that is hidden he brings out to light. Precious metals and gems creates a startling in the book of Job, chapter 28. Because techniques of searching and finding, but in the next usually does not find. So we look, verse 12 begins with a baffling question. In other words, we can find silver and gold, we can find sapphires and ruby, and where is the place of understanding? Means when it speaks of wisdom. British theologian J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God, gives an illustration of what wisdom is like. He's British, and he used to live in London. And so he says, imagine how people get around in London using the subway system. Or if you don't like that, think of a complex highway system in a large city in this country. He says many people think that wisdom resembles knowing all the trivia about all the trains, knowing where each train goes in London, knowing the schedule each train follows, and knowing which particular trains have better brakes than other trains does not guarantee that the person who knows them will know how to use the subway system. Who uses the subway system in London to get from his home for three trains each way, he knows how to use the system since he has more wisdom than the man who knows the trivia facts. Is the skill which knows how to live. Of knowing how to live. So that he would give wisdom to Bezalel, Bezalel didn't merely know the layout of the tabernacles, of building furniture appropriate for the tabernacle. It says the pilots of the ships of Tyre, it means they know the ways of the oceans. They know to steer a ship safely in a giant storm. Skill. The Bible calls God, and he knows how to guide everything to the goal he has for it in completing the task at hand. Then you know how to live. Turning to the question in verse 12, it says, where shall wisdom? The question has the context of Job's suffering. They said, if you sin, you suffer. And yet, exceedingly wicked, but don't seem to suffer. The answers concerning how to live when he suffers, to endure our burdens that we bear. You know what to pray. When family, what to say in return. When a graduate wonders, how do we know where to go for guidance? Sickness, isolation, and looming death plague all of us. But where do we go to learn how to cope with our struggles? To help sufferers endure all. It seems don't know where to find it because they won't find it in a university lounge, clubs or concert halls or TV news commentaries. Incapable of knowing how to live, because this verse 14 says it doesn't come from the ocean. Verses 15, the wisdom we need does not come naturally. No wonder society feels frustrated by its advertised on the front covers of tabloids next to the groceries on TV where there's a specialist trying to give us wisdom about pain or about mental difficulties or on and on. Sadly, we can't find wisdom for life from anything around us. Sin often assumes we can find wisdom if we just look for it. So the animist, those who follow the traditional African religions or the traditional religion of Haiti, they believe the medicine man can ascertain which spirits brought suffering and can tell us how to appease those spirits to get rid of our pains. The Buddhist believes that suffering comes from self-centeredness and that we find peace when we abandon ourselves and seek union with the great mind that saturates everything. The materialist says we can avoid some of our suffering if only we get more things, because that will dull our sensitivities, our worries, our pains. These rebellious ideologies tempt us. They offer wisdom for sufferers like Job, who sat isolated in his agony. And this human dilemma has stayed with us, unchanged, since man fell into sin. Well, there's a third search still awaiting us in this chapter. Not the contrasting search of success compared to the frustrating search, but a third search, a completed one. Verse 20 asks the question of verse 12 again, only with a slightly different wording. From where then does wisdom come? Where is the place of understanding? Maybe the problem was that people were going out to find wisdom. Maybe, in fact, wisdom will come to us. But where will it come from? It certainly seems hidden to mankind. How are we going to recognize this ability, this skill concerning how to live? Beginning in verse 21, we see the beginning of an answer. Because the Lord knows where wisdom exists, and he knows how we can find it. He knows because he knows everything, and he knows everything because he made everything. And when he created the universe, he created wisdom with it. He tells us, "Behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding." You notice it does not say the fear of the Lord will result in wisdom. Or if you fear the Lord, then as a second type of blessing, you will be given wisdom. Rather, it says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom itself. We do not learn how to live by mastering large volumes of information. We do not gain wisdom by blending all the world's religions and trying to come up with one from all of them. We acquire the skill to live when we face challenges and suffering. When we go to the Lord and humble ourselves before him and declare that he alone is God and Lord. In effect, verse 28 speaks of repentance and faith. Turning away from that self-determined search to find wisdom ourselves, and turning as beggars to the Lord who alone can teach us. When we begin to understand God's eternal purposes, almighty power, and unparalleled love for sinners, we gain an understanding of how to live when we face pain. Because God's purposes convince us that our sufferings in this life belong to his loving plans for our lives. And though we cannot understand the specific reasons for specific troubles, we have confidence that our sufferings did not come by mistake or chance. God's power convinces us that our sufferings did not come because God is weak. Rather, his power has so controlled everything that he will carry out his loving plan for us, even in the middle of our suffering. And God's love convinces us that he does not desire ultimately to harm us. He has chosen through pain to manifest his love for us so clearly that he delights us even when we suffer. So humbling ourselves before God is wisdom. By going to him, we live wisely. So the question about where wisdom must come from finds its answer in the Lord, who came to us in mercy and saving grace. Now, brothers and sisters, the New Testament speaks about this wisdom that God gives. In one place, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 20, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians these questions. Where is the one who is wise? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. This teaches us that God uses unworldly wisdom to save sinners in Christ. Certainly the world expects to find every important thing on its own. So God chose to offer wisdom where the world would never think of looking, to a cross, and on there, the crucified Son of God. The Romans despised those crucified because most of the people they crucified were slaves. The Jews despised the crucified because that meant to them that the crucified one had been condemned by God. Yet God chose the shameful cross where a despised man died to save the countless ones who trust in that Savior for eternal life. What amazing skill, divine wisdom God showed when he saved us through Christ. Furthermore, God chose a foolish-looking method. Ancient people longed for great orators who could persuade the rulers of the nations and thereby change the course of history. But God chose to alter for eternity the lives of countless believers through the simple communication of the preaching of the gospel. Doesn't God surprise the sophisticated and show his wisdom by the humble way he has ordained the gospel should be preached. Only those who embrace Christ by faith can become wise as they trust in the accursed Son of God and listen to the simple gospel preached. All the rest of mankind foolishly scorn the only one who can save them from their sins. So Job 28 gives us three searches. A contrasting search, unlike the one the rest of the chapter gives us. A search for metals and gems. A frustrating search, the search of mankind looking on their own for how to live. And a completed search. Those who bring their search for wisdom to Christ and bow down to him in faith and loyalty. Many years ago, I listened to a series of recordings by Johnny Erickson. She told what she learned through suffering. It may be that the younger generation in this church doesn't know who she is. All I can tell you is that when my wife and I went through great personal pain, Johnny Erickson's tapes encouraged us immensely. It's been a long time since I heard those tapes. There might be a few inaccuracies in how I report what was there. But please listen, and I think you'll get the story. Johnny Erickson lived in California as an active teenager without a care in the world. Then on one dreadful day, she had an accident while diving in shallow water, far shallower than she ever knew it was. And she hit the bottom of the water hard. It paralyzed her from her neck down. For weeks, possibly months, she was in the hospital, strapped to a firm board which they rotated, so that for a few hours she was strapped to a board facing the floor and just looking. Then a few hours more, she was rotated, and for a few hours she stared at the ceiling. That was her life for days, weeks, maybe months. Meanwhile, teenage friends came, paid their token visits, and then told her excitedly about all the exciting things they were going to do as soon as they left the hospital. And Johnny Erickson seethed with bitterness. Then one day, her church's youth pastor came, and he read to her verses from 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And her anger only increased all the more. To think that a youth pastor had the audacity to read those verses to her in her situation. And yet as time progressed, she could not bear her rage any longer. It was eating her up. It consumed her. She couldn't tolerate it. So finally she decided to do what one of those verses said. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is his will for you in Christ Jesus. And she pushed through her teeth with exceeding grudgingly hesitating words, Lord, I thank you for my pain. Brothers and sisters, that act was the beginning of her wisdom. Because in this ordeal, for the first time, she acknowledged that the Lord Jesus is Lord, and that she must give her life to him, even in her hopeless pain. And many of you know what happened in the years that followed. She's told thousands, again and again, what she learned about suffering and God's love. Last time I saw her speak, she was in a highly equipped wheelchair, using an exceedingly powerful microphone, speaking of the lessons of God's grace that she learned by yielding to him. She spoke at a conference where a lot of dazzling theologians spoke, but no one spoke with the power she did when she spoke of how she had learned by God's grace to live. She offers a modern example of the sufferer who searched for wisdom and found it in Christ. She learned the skill of living thankfully while suffering greatly. And like her, Job also gained wisdom when he suffered by turning from his sinful ways and beginning to fear the Lord. So from where does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding.